Oh, we're going to make that special announcement. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Has he set you free? Amen. Has he set you free? Amen. God, there's just such a sweet spirit in this place this morning. I don't know about you, but the Spirit of God just in this place this morning is just a cleansing has taken place in my life and in my heart and worship. And for that very purpose, I just feel just that sweet presence of the Lord this morning in this place. Amen. Has he washed over you this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again, Lord, that yes, Lord, where your Spirit is, God, there is freedom, God. There is freedom, Lord, in this place, Lord. God, as this church, as this family is your saving station, Father, your place, God, where hurting souls, God, people who are bound in sickness and in sin, Father, God, that they can come, Lord, let this be a place of refuge, God. Again, Lord, a saving station where the Spirit of God would wash over their lives, God, and set them free, Lord, just as you've set me free and many other lives in this place, God. Lord, set hearts and souls free today, God. For your glory, God, for your kingdom, God, that you would build your church, Father, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Be found, Father. Let us be found faithful, Lord, and diligently seeking and working, Lord, to extend your kingdom, Father, in our streets, the city of Tyler, Father God, in our nation, Father God, and across the world, Lord, as we are your hands, your feet, Lord, your sons and your daughters, Lord. We thank you today, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Well, I am pleased to have two mothers here today. My mother-in-love, Shirley, is here again with us, and my mother has come to visit us this week. Amen. She got to come and be with her grandbaby on her grandbaby's birthday. And so, yes, it's been sweet thus far, and it's always good to have my mom. I don't get to see her that much. There's such a distance between where she lives and where I live at, and of course, my responsibilities here and just kind of keeps us apart, but God knows when to bring us together. Amen? Doesn't he, Mom? Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody remember this sound? Everybody remember that sound? Well, see, that sound is, there's actually, you guys know there's actually two ice cream trucks. That's the ice cream truck of the suburbs. See, the ice cream trucks of the hood of the ghetto adds a little bass to it. Dun 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 boom boom dun 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 dun, right? They add a little bit of bass to theirs. See, and that's actually the ice cream truck that I'm used to listening to and hearing. But growing up as a kid, there was no sound in all the neighborhood that would make a kid lose his mind than hearing the sound of the ice cream truck. Right? Come on, y'all. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You might not hear your mama calling you, but from 2, 3, 4 miles away, you would hear the ice cream truck coming and lose your mind to try to get to that ice cream truck. Right? And then the ice cream truck, he liked to play games, right? He liked to make you chase him for another block or two, right? See how fast these kids really want, But, every day, I remember growing up that, that was something that I looked forward to was the ice cream man. And my mom being here this morning, I think that she can attest to this. I got a quarter every day for the ice cream man. But the only way I got a quarter for the ice cream man is if what? If I had to take out the trash and I had to clean my room. Those two things had to be in order before I got my quarter for the ice cream man. Now, if I didn't do my chores, well, of course, I wouldn't get my quarter. I'd hear the ice cream man coming, and I'd think, man, did I do my chores? Did I take care of my business? Uh-oh, I didn't. And I knew I only had about 5 minutes because, the ice cream man in my neighborhood didn't stick around long. All right, because he was liable to get robbed if he stayed more than 5 minutes. He had to keep moving, didn't he, Mom? He had to keep on moving, so I'd have to run home and go upstairs and grab the trash and make sure my room was straight
And in order for me to be able to get my quarter, to get my big stick or my softy freeze or whatever type of ice cream I was going to eat that day, you know. And it was something that I looked forward to every single day. But I had to take care of some responsibilities in order to be able to partake of the blessing of the big stick. Amen. Now, I think I feel it safe to say this morning that we all grew up in a family where we were required to do something, to take care of some responsibilities, were we not? Didn't you have some chores to do? You had something that your mother and your father expected you to do every single day in order to contribute to the household, right? And I think the Fenton family this morning, you guys got a lot of duties going on in your house, don't you? I think they're probably the biggest family in our church, I believe. Maybe, am I wrong? 6 kids. Anybody got more than 6 kids? The cooks? Okay, well, yeah, the cooks. Okay, I'm sorry. Bill and Linda, forgot about you guys. How many of you guys got? 9. Okay, so the Fentons and the cooks could probably, if, oh, that's 10. Okay, we got 10 over there. Well, Andrea's family, I think, beat us all. But I think this is of a truth, is it not? That you guys had responsibilities. You have responsibilities for every single one of your kids, right? And what happens, Kimberly Robert, when the responsibilities fall on just you guys? Mama and Daddy ain't happy, are they? And we have a sit-down talk. Everything is disrupted, right? It disrupts the whole program, doesn't it? It disrupts the whole, when one member, even if one member out of the 6 isn't doing their part, one member out of the 9, right, Bill, that are not doing their part, does it not just disrupt the whole function of what's happening in the family? Just one person. And God has put us together as a family. You know, God instituted 4 different institutions within the world in order to pronounce his kingdom rule. The individual, which you can just look at this, and this tells the story as well. The individual is the heart, the one person, Adam, being the first, was to be in relationship with God. He walked with God. Then God instituted the family, Adam and Eve, the sons that he had, Cain and Abel, Seth. Then the church he instituted next. And then, not the world, but government, if you will, through the children of Israel. He instituted the government. So these 4 institutions God has ordained to be able to pronounce his kingdom rule throughout all the earth, to let the rest of the world know how things are supposed to be run orderly. And it starts, of course, with the individual and the family. Without strong individuals, without strong families within the church breaks down. The order of the family breaks down. If the order of the natural family breaks down, then it's only logical that the order of the church family, the spiritual family, begins to break down, right? Can we attest to that? I believe that God's word this morning has a lot to say concerning the family. Joe has started out this year with the theme of we are a member one of another. He's talked about membership. He's talked about a family, being a family of God, and why it's so important that we, as the church, work as a family. As I said at the beginning here with the illustration with the Fenton family, if one person is not pulling their weight, come on, you guys heard that term before? You got to pull your weight around here, right? You want to eat? You got to pull your weight around here. You want your allowances? You got to pull your weight around here. I heard that a lot from my mother, okay? She made sure that I pulled my weight. And you know, this morning I believe that God is speaking the exact same thing about the family of God as well, the spiritual family of God, the church, is that we all need to be in one accord, working together, pulling our own weight, if you will. Pulling our own weight. If you turn this morning to the book of Ephesians, and let me make a couple statements here. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, I believe. Yep. Somebody said it. Yep, is it? Just want to make sure I'm right there. All right. Because I got it differently in my notes, which is not good. But Ephesians 4, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 16, But let me make these two statements. For the church to function biblically, it has to be made up of strong families and strong individuals who contribute to the church, to the church's work, rather than drain it. Okay? Because the church itself is like a big family. We have to be working together, contributing to this work together. And no one person should be a drain on what God is trying to do in the family of God. See, the church only develops and grows properly when each member is doing his or her individual part. It only develops, it only grows when we're working with the common goal, the common vision, and everyone is taking what God has given them and they are using it to further his kingdom. That is the only way the church is going to grow. And we've heard the term before, we're only as strong as our weakest link. That's very true. We see the church as a whole is just limping around this world today because we have so many hurting, undeveloped, immature church members who are not stepping up and being who God has called them to be. Because to break the church down, to break this whole thing called the Christian life down in its most simplistic terms is this. It is salvation, transformation, sanctification. Okay, we can group those two together. Salvation, transformation, sanctification, and replication. That's it. That is the Christian life, broken down in its most simplistic terms. And I believe somebody even said, you know, we complicate things. I think Randall said, it's simple. It is so simple, but we seem to complicate it so much. And Paul gave us the order in which we are to further God's kingdom as a family, as we are to progress God's church forward as a family. He gave the recipe. He says, if you adhere to these things, if you do these things just like it's written, guess what? My God, Jesus Christ's kingdom here and now, because we know that God's kingdom is present and it is future, right? God's kingdom is now where? Within us, within each and every single one of us. Because if you call yourself a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, okay, God has given you a portion of his kingdom, if you will. And you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. We collectively have a responsibility. God's word says this in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and through 16. Let's read it. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, for the building of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Immature Christians are not part of the church. But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. And here is the kicker, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And what does it do? It causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's a mouthful. But it's simple. It's very simple. To put it in the most simplistic terms, Paul says, I've given you a pastor, I've given you evangelists and prophets and teachers, okay? I've equipped the church with every single thing that it needs. Now, these guys aren't to do all the ministry, okay? It's not 20% of the people ministers to 80% of the people. It's 100% of us ministering to 100% of each other, right? Yeah, the leaders of the church are to serve as well, but they are not to be the sole servers of the church. Not 20%, not 10%, but it's 100% of each and every single one of us. Again, let me remind you, if one person in the body of Christ is not doing their part, the machine breaks down. The unit breaks down. It does not work. And Paul says, okay, so I've given you everything that you need when it comes to building the body of Christ. I've given you proper doctrine. I've given you the word of God. I've given you the teachers. And I believe that we have some anointed teachers that come and preach here. Tina, myself, Joe, that teach sound doctrine of the word of God. So it's to build up the body, you who are sitting in these chairs, for what? For the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Replication, right? Our responsibility is to get saved, to be trained underneath the word of God for what? Transformation and sanctification, right? And then the work of the ministry is for what? Is for the members to replicate themselves in the world, to take God's kingdom rule from these four walls and begin to take it to the world for replication, for the kingdom to be built. Leaders are given to God, again, to equip his people for service, and there is no such thing as a Christian who does not serve the king by ministering to the church. There is no such thing as a Christian who does not minister back to the body. I mean, we're to minister one to another and then to the world. We're to minister one to another. That's why Joe spoke about membership. All right? Everybody kind of maybe had all these preconceived notions and blew things maybe out of proportion, didn't know exactly what was going on. But you know what? The membership of this church is about commitment. It's about saying, you know what? I am going to commit to this body. I'm going to serve this body. I'm going to take what God has given me, what I've learned through the transformation and sanctification process, and I'm going to take those things and I'm going to minister it back to the body and minister it back to the world in which God has put me to influence. That's what the membership is about. It's not about so we can control you and make you do things that, you know. No, it's about saying it's a commitment, each and every single one of us. When we sign that paper, we're saying this. We're saying, I'm going to be faithful to this body. I'm going to serve it with my money. People don't like to talk about that too much. But I'm going to support it financially, and I'm going to support it spiritually, and I'm going to support it prayerfully. I'm going to give myself to this body because this is where God has planted me. And let me tell you something, you guys. We cannot and will not grow unless we only grow where we're planted. We only grow where we're committed to. You don't uproot trees constantly. Well, let me see if it'll grow here. Let me see if it'll grow here. Let me see. Of course not. That's ludicrous. And we're supposed to grow spiritually the exact same way. And we cannot grow by uprooting ourselves and being tossed to and fro in every different direction, thinking that we have the answers. When God says, I have the answers, I've given you the ingredients and what you need in order to be successful when it comes to growing my church. Really, that's his two main concerns, you guys, is of course our salvation, but his two main concerns would be this, that we would be transformed to the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and that we take his kingdom. What did Jesus say? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Be a disciple, make disciples. Be a disciple, make disciples. Be a disciple, make disciples. It doesn't get any easier than that, but we tend to complicate things. I tend to complicate things. But you cannot build a home without all the members doing their part. You can't build a church without all the members doing their part. It is impossible. That is not God, that's not in God's economy of things. God has called, I would dare to guesstimate, maybe about 170, close to 200 people in this place this morning. Wow, that's pretty mind-blowing considering how many people were here probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. But God is in the replicating business. And God is bringing people to this fellowship in this body, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, that I know that I know that I know that God wants to set this body apart and differentiate it from every other church in Tyler. I believe that wholeheartedly because this body is full of people who want to serve. But I think the thing is that the wheels kind of grind to a halt because we think that maybe, you know, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, you guys understand this, that we serve a God who hits moving targets. That's how good God is. See, it's hard to hit moving targets, right? Maybe with a shotgun, maybe you can. That's a little easier. But God is a sniper who can hit moving targets. And it don't matter. As long as you will get busy serving, get busy saying, okay, God, I'll just put one foot in front of the other, God. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but hey, you know, Pastor Joe, what's needed in the church? Where could I serve? Or Randall, our usher. Hey, Randall, man, could I be on the usher team, man? I need to find my place, man. I don't know exactly what God's got for me, but I think, you know, I could do something. I think that I can do something to contribute to this family. I believe that that's what God is calling us. Because as we go into this year, again, Joe has set the tone this year about family. And the only way that a family matures is when everyone is doing their part, when discipline is having its perfect work. See some of that happening. When we're growing, when we're learning, spending time together, fellowshipping, learning God's word, coming together on Sunday mornings, worshiping together, allowing God to cleanse us from the week's garbage. But we come together to grow. Every member of a family is vital. You guys, I'm going to tell you this, you all play a vital role in this family. God, it sounds like they're fixing to bring the roof down up there. Do we need to, man, we need to have church like that up in here. Huh? Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's a nice, beautiful day out there. Jody's getting the kids riled up. Praise God. Holy Spirit, come on. But every person in this family, you guys, every one of you, you have a vital role. You are important. Every single one of you is important. Every one of you sitting in these chairs is important to this body. And you have a purpose, a God-given destiny, because you're not here by mistake. I don't think not one person is sitting in these chairs this morning by mistake. Not one of you. Some of you may be saying, well, I don't know if I want to be a member of this church. Well, that's okay. That's all right. But again, let me remind you, you're only going to grow where you planted. Church hopping, that's not in God's, you know, let me go see, you know, where the word talks about that. You know, got to go chase every, that's the child being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's the immature individual who's running to this thing and to that thing and over there. Let me go see what's happening over here. Oh, I hear something's going on over here in the Holy Spirit. Let me go get some of that Holy Ghost fire, and I'll go back over here and get some of this over here. No, that's not the way that God has instituted this thing called the church. That's not it. It's to be committed to a family. When I sign that piece of paper, and I say I adhere to the doctrines and the principles of this body, of this family, what I'm saying essentially is that I'm going to contribute to the health, the vitality, and the prosperity of this body for God's kingdom and His glory, for no other purpose. That's what church membership is about. That's what this covenant that Joe has brought forth for this coming year is about. It's about nothing else but saying, I will commit. Sometimes we got to sign some things, don't we? See, sometimes I got to write some things down because I forget a lot, don't I, honey? My mind gets to going 15,000 different directions, and Carla's like, dude, honey, do you remember we're going to be going to do this, you know, at such and such time? Nope. See, you don't listen to me. Honey, I was listening, but I just forget. Come on, we forget. We do. God made His covenant to us in His blood. Hello? Did He not? Did He not sign a covenant in His blood? So why should it hurt for us to take a piece of paper and say, you know what, I'm going to sign it because I'm going to commit to this body. Because I want to be a member of something that's doing God's work in all the earth. That's what this is about. The body of Christ has already too many people who come to church and say, preach to me, sing to me, serve me. When I'm sick, come and visit me. When I'm hurting, comfort me. When I need encouragement, come encourage me. But don't expect me to give any of my time or my abilities to this work or to what's happening here. Well, people say that. Church leeches, if you will. I'm not, if the Lord's speaking to you, I'm not saying anybody is, okay? But we see that happening in the body of Christ. People do not want to commit to give back. They want to be served. And I find, you know, that people will choose a church based upon what can that church give me? What can it give me? Now, I mean, granted, yes, we want to be able to provide things for children, for youth. We want you to know that, guess what? We have some things here that's going to serve you, to build you up. But guess what? We're going to expect you to take those things and now serve this body and the rest of the world with it. Okay? That's the expectation. It is a give and take, you know, a two-way street here. It's a two-way street here. The covenant of God is a two-way street. We have some responsibilities if we're going to partake of God's covenant. Are we not? It's not a contract. It's a covenant. It's an agreement that was written in his blood. And understand this, you guys. It's a sin and an insult to the Father who invited us into his family at the price of the sacrificial death of his son, Jesus Christ, for us to sit around and not do what God has called us to do. Because we don't deserve to be here. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that we're only here because of his grace. That's the only reason why each and every single one of us are sitting in these chairs today. That's why I am not dead. I was not a blood stain on the street out there due to my sin and everything that I'd done in this world. It's only by his grace that I'm here. So I've got to serve wholeheartedly. God has adopted us into his family. And that is the spiritual family. I know many of us, some of us don't have physical families, natural families. For many, this is your family. The church, the church of God is the family. So what does it look like to the individual who is orphaned from their natural family, who comes into a church setting and they see it working dysfunctionally? Backbiting, gossip, or people just sitting around and just, you know, getting theirs and getting on about their life and their business. No transformation taking place, going right back into the same sin, living in sin with unwedded fornication and alcoholism and drunkenness and drug addiction and all these things. How does that look? How does that look to someone who doesn't have the natural family and they come and see the picture of a spiritual family like that? This body is not going to be like that, I know. God's not going to tolerate it. The Father is not going to tolerate it. God has adopted us into this family, and he brought us into his glorious home called the kingdom, Colossians 1:13. Again, God did not call 20% of the people to serve the other 80%, but he has called 100% of us to serve each other. He has called 100% of us to serve each other. And this is my personal conviction. I cannot even consider myself a member of this church unless I'm contributing to it in some way, shape, or form. Honestly, I can't even consider myself to use the term that I'm a Christian or believer if I am not giving back to God's church and his kingdom. Because people who have inherited salvation are servants. They serve God's body. They serve the Lord's body. Verses 13 through 15. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you know that the church is the fullness of Christ? That we are the fulfilling of Christ. Not that he needs fulfilling, but according to Ephesians 1:22-23, he put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, which is what? The fullness of him. The church is supposed to be the fullness of Christ. Again, not that he needs to be fulfilled, because he is. He is the I am. He is all. He is everything. But he says, Paul says, that Christ said that we as his church are his fullness. We are the fullness of him who fills all in all. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. And again, there it is again, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may we grow up. May we grow up. May we grow up. May we grow up in all things. May we grow up. I don't think I can say that enough. May we grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Spiritually mature people respond strongly and with eagerness, with eager hearts to God's word and his ministry. Spiritually mature, see, spiritually mature people, when the end of the service is over, I don't know if you remember my message last time, that one of our responsibilities, as if we're going to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, but that at the end of every single message that we hear here at CLH, we should leave here with this thought on our mind. What is it that I'm going to do now with this word that was just delivered? How am I going to enact that word into my Christian life? And I believe Mark said yesterday not to be. He prayed over me yesterday and said, he said the exact words, let us be doers of the word, Lord, and not just hearers. Spiritually mature people take God's word and says, now, what am I going to do to take this into my world? What am I going to do today? Church, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Let me give you an illustration. If you see a baby, right, if you see a child, children love to play in dirt. I remember there was a friend of ours. We were at the beach. Remember we went to Mexico. I think it was one of our first missions trips to Reynosa with the youth group, and we had a friend of ours with us who had an infant at the time, and we had that child on the beach, and this kid was just taking dirt and just rubbing dirt all over itself, right, taking a bath in it. I mean, he was eating sand. I mean, just stuffing this sand in his mouth by the handful, right, and just having a good old time. You know, we're looking at this child going, yeah, that's cute, you know, taking pictures of him. Oh, boy, I don't want to change your diaper. You know, I feel sorry for, you know, what's going to come out the other end of that. I mean, as he's just, you know, just stuffing just handfuls of sand in his mouth, you know, but just covered head to toe in sand. You know, that's cute. But let me pose this to you. What does it look like to see a 21-year-old man sitting in the dirt and playing in the dirt, sticking dirt in his mouth, right? You'd say that individual has lost his ever-loving mind, right? He has lost his mind. Well, that's the picture of the church sometimes. We have so many Christians that have been saved too long and are still playing in the dirt, that are still having fun in the dirt. There is no maturity at all. They're not broken over sin. They're coming week in and week out and not being changed and transformed by the word of God, but are still playing in the muck and the mire and the dirt of their life and their old life and their old ways. No maturity whatsoever. No giving back to the family of God. Little, if any, change taking place in their lives. Is that you this morning? Is that you this morning? Are you still playing in the dirt this morning? But let us be found broken by the things of God, that we can contribute back, that we can give back to what God wants for his family, for this church family. We've got to understand that the local church, if broken down to its simplest functions, again, exists for these two purposes: to be a disciple and to make disciples. To be a disciple and to make disciples. To work, maturity, and serving to build the body of Christ. Serving to build the body of Christ. That's what God has called us to. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Have you ever seen an individual with a disorder? When the body doesn't function properly, it doesn't fulfill its true role and purpose. And again, if within the natural family, if one part of the body is not fulfilling its purpose and its role, everything breaks down because someone else has to do it. Guys in the dorm, if somebody doesn't do their dorm duty, what happens? When somebody has to take, you've done what you needed to do. You take care of your business. Now it's your time to get the word. It's time for you, you've taken care of your responsibilities, and now it's time for you to allow God to start speaking to you, maybe through word, prayer, whatever, and you got to get called from that to go fulfill, a chore or duty that somebody lacked. Did that just stunt your growth? Possibly. God maybe had something to speak to you, but maybe he might have something to speak to you through getting up and going doing that chore too. So we need to do that in love, right? But I'm saying is again, that if we're not working harmoniously one with another, if we're not taking our rightful place as servants in this body, as family members, everybody has their purpose and has the exact role in which to fill to complete this body. Every one of us. To build God's church. And that's the only way it's going to take place and happening. Brothers and sisters, everybody has to do their part. Are you pulling your weight around here this morning? I think that's the question on the floor this morning. Are you pulling your weight when it comes to serving this family and this body as a member of this church? Again, if you remember that I said in the beginning that it is a sin. Not only does it grieve the heart of God that we don't use our abilities and our talents and whatever it is that God has placed in our lives in order to serve the body, not only does it grieve his heart when we don't use those things, but it's sinful as well. That's right. It's sinful. Chapter and verse, Jason, what is it? Matthew 25. Verses 14 through 30, we won't read all of those, but we'll look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven, the first thing that Christ starts this whole learning process with when he's speaking to his disciples, he starts out, for the kingdom of heaven. Now, again, did we not clarify that who's the kingdom of heaven? We are, right? The word makes that very clear, that the kingdom of heaven is within us, each and every single one of us, by the sealing, redemptive work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we trusted Christ, as Ephesians says, that we inherited the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom of God. So he's talking about what? The kingdom of God. Now, we know that there was talents and there were things that were given to individuals. One got 10, or I believe it says 5 and 2. And another one had one. The one with five, what? Did everything that he was supposed to with his five and duplicated, right? There's that duplication process, right? He multiplied. He replicated himself. He made more of what God had given him. The dude with two, guess what? Got two more. Duplication again, right? Well, let's see what happened to the guy who had the one. Verse 24 says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have it. Here's what's yours, he says. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Ooh. He called this guy wicked. He called him wicked and lazy. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. You knew these things. These weren't the guy, brothers and sisters, this morning, this is something that is not has not been revealed to every single one of us. We know. We know. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers at least, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest, and there's something in that too. But therefore take the talent from him and give it to him with 10, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, whatever he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Understand this, brothers and sisters. Only believers will take the things in which God has deposited in their lives, and they will take those things and they will replicate it for the Lord. They will take it and they say, Lord, I will work with my hands to serve your kingdom, God. Because I fear you, because I know the repercussions of my laziness and my not trusting you. I know the consequences. See, it's the individual who is far from God who says, you know, I'll just, you know, I'm enlightened by the word. Yeah, I believe, yeah. But that's not supposed to be me. I've got a whole nother agenda to serve over here. The fear of God is not there. But let's look at this word talent. And I found this very interesting when I looked at this word. The word talent is a derivative of the word phero, which in Greek means one who carries a weight. It has nothing to do with money. You believe that? We think talent that it has to do with my abilities. Well, it does in a sense. It has the connotation that you use your ability to carry something. And then of course we know that we ascribe the monetary to it to ascribe value to it. Jesus is saying the burden in which I have given you to carry has weight and value to it. What I have given you, and again, it is not, we have to understand that this is not, he is not talking about how we use our money. Okay? That's not the, and we can mistake this word talent for that. But that's not what God is saying here. God is saying that I have given you a weight, I've given you something to do that is of value. What are you going to do with it? If you are unprofitable, if you choose not to carry that weight to edify my body as a member of my body to further my kingdom in the earth, then you are a wicked and lazy individual who doesn't know me, first of all, because again, saved people serve, amen? Saved people who have inherited true salvation serve the living God out of the fear of the Lord, knowing, because what does it say? You knew. Do you know this morning? Are you carrying your weight around here this morning? I believe that's the question that's on the floor this morning. That's the talent. Has nothing to do with your money. It's nothing to do with your time. But every person in this place this morning, God has put something in your life. A weight. A valuable weight. A weight that is glorious because it's his. He gave it to him. He gave it to him. He gave one guy 5, another one 2, and another one 1. Some of us are a little bit more weighed down than others. I am. But I'll be if I'll waste away what God has said that I'm to carry to profit his kingdom. And see, and the kicker is this. 27 says, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back what was my own in interest. You know what the Lord is saying there? He's saying that, okay, you don't exactly know what to do with this burden. Go to someone who is laboring. Say, hey, help me along. Can you help me carry this burden and show me how to do this thing? That's what Jesus is saying. You should have taken that burden that I've given you and put it with someone else's and labored alongside that individual so when he came back that he would receive all that he deposited to your account, even though you knew not how to carry that burden. but that he would have received back with interest. And guess what? The guy would have been saved. He would have been saved. See, sometimes we don't know where we fit in, but you got to get in where you fit in. At the time, there was something that I learned so profound from the Barnetts. And they and Tommy Barnett said this: sometimes we just don't know where God is calling us to. But if we will get busy serving, if we will hitch our wagon, if we will hitch our burden to someone else's and serve right alongside them, guess what God does? The interest starts to grow on that burden, and you begin to see exactly where you need to serve. God opens that door. He hits moving targets, you guys. He hits moving targets. But you know what? Your destiny is not going to come to you sitting around being lazy and unprofitable. It's not going to happen. If you're sitting around here doing absolutely nothing to proliferate and build God's kingdom through this body right here, you'll never find God's destiny and purpose for your life. It does not work like that. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves. We have to say, brother, how could I serve with you, man? You got an amazing ministry to the nursing home. Man, could I come and serve with you and just be a prayer warrior for you, man? Brother Joe, could I go on the mission field? And I know there's a work in Toulon Singo. I don't know exactly. I'll go labor down there. I may be called to preach to the world. But if we don't humble ourselves and say, how could I get in where I fit in right now? I never would have found the destiny for my own life had I not got under Joe and said, Joe, how could I serve Calvary Commission? How could I serve the local church? I didn't think I'd ever was called to be a youth pastor. I was telling my kids this past Wednesday, you know, we were talking about Moses and how Moses, when he turned aside, when he saw the burning bush, God did not speak to Moses until when? Until Moses, the Lord said, till he turned aside to look. When he turned aside to look, God revealed the plan. When he stopped and said, okay, God, you give it, I know I got this burden. I know you called me to something. See, God saw Moses' passion and his zeal when he murdered that Egyptian. He said, you know what, Moses, that's the wrong zeal and the wrong passion, but we finna turn this thing around, okay? Well, I'm gonna put you on the backside of the desert for 40 years because you got some stuff to learn, okay? I'm gonna take you from a murderer to a missionary, but, you know, and a deliverer of my people. But before that could happen, I've got to speak to you for a while. And he carried somebody else's burden, didn't he? Who was he serving? He served his father-in-law, Jethro, a humble herdsman from the prince of the palace of Egypt to a servant of sheep on the backside of the desert. You guys seeing a connection here? What about David? Sometimes we got to get our hands dirty. I want to see God's glory, and I want to see God's greatness. But we will never, ever see his glory or his greatness until we get busy humbling ourselves and getting our hands dirty in this thing. Church business is a dirty business. It is. People's lives are in disarray. They're in wrecks. I hear it every single day. But you know what? It's the very thing that gets me out of bed every day, because you know what? There's a miracle waiting to happen. Amen? There's a miracle waiting to happen. And I serve a miracle-working God that I want to see perform miracles and wonders and greatness. And he's called all of us to greatness. But will we get up out of these chairs and begin to serve this body? It starts right here, you guys. And I believe that's the message that God has called us to from the beginning of this very year when Joe introduced the family. We got to start operating as a family. We've got to start pulling our weight around here. I want the blessings of God, because I want to be able to give back to others. Again, blessings are not the Dead Sea, okay? It ain't meant just to flow into something, because the Dead Sea is dead. There's no life in the Dead Sea. I've been there, seen it, horrible place. Caustic, very deadly. It's nice on the skin. Have your skin the soft as a baby's rear end. But that's about the only purpose that it serves, really. You can buy your wife some mud and bring it home, and they could use it as a cosmetic for a little while until it runs out. You know, that's really the only purpose that the Dead Sea serves. But But we're not to be the Dead Sea. When God is blessing us, when we're serving God, and God is saying, oh, man, when we choose to live, to bring a smile to our Father's face. There was a guy when I was in prison, he said those words, and I was a young Christian at the time, didn't really have, any foundation, but I heard him say the words, you know what I live for, guys? I live to see my Father in heaven smile down and say, that's my boy. That's my boy right there. And that just touched me. And I said, God, that's what I want. That's all I want, God. I want you to be able to smile down on me and say, that's my boy. That's my boy right there. And to share into his blessings, to be able to give back to others. Because, man, people are hurting and dying. We just had a shooting over at Rose Valley this past weekend. Yeah. A young lady, she was like mortally wounded. I mean, it wasn't anything serious, but it was serious. Because there was guns pulled out over there and somebody got shot over there. And God has called us to those apartment complexes to reach out to those kids every single day. As Joe says, that just shows us how important it is. God's showing us of how important it is what we're doing over there. The importance of it. We lost Reggie last year. Young boy, 9 years old. Gone to be with the Lord. But you know what? We would have never had any assurance had he gone to be with the Lord, had we not known that he responded to Pastor Jody's altar call back there and said, Jesus Christ, I want to live for you. But you know what? That would not have happened, brothers and sisters, if some faithful people who serve in the TKO ministry had not gone over there week after week after week, packing up stuff, bringing it back, listening to the kids whine, fuss, complain, all they want is to take stuff, okay? And it's burdensome, man, to have to take 4 or 5 hours out of your day to go and minister to some children who you don't even know whether they even appreciate it or not. You know what I'm saying? But we'd never know. We'll never know. And again, brothers and sisters, as Joe has introduced this theme and this topic for this year, I know that we have to go beyond ourselves. It's what Christ said when we're to go the extra mile. We're to go the extra mile. If someone says go a mile, man, go two. Yeah, I'll do that and some more. Esteem others higher than yourself, Paul says. You know why? Because that's humility. Because you know what? It keeps wrath. It keeps anger, bitterness, envy, jealousy. You want to be a Haman? I don't want to be a Haman. I don't. I know what happened to him. He got hung on his own gallows. That's what happens when envy and strife. Paul said in the book of Galatians, we get to serve, you guys. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. We talked about it. We sang about it this morning. You've been called to freedom. Every single one of us has been called to freedom. But Paul says, do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Serve one another. What can I do for you today? We get to serve. Can you say that? We get to, and those who go out on the Monday night streets with me, that I say it every Monday night, don't I, Jeffrey? We get to serve. We get to serve. God he's given us the privilege. And we look at it as something laborious and arduous and it's a burden. But it's God's burden. And last I remember, God's word says that he's not going to give me any more than I can carry. And if I can't carry it, he said, give it to me. I'll take care of the rest. Amen? I'll take care of the rest. Davion, would you come this morning? I want you to just close your eyes. I want everyone just to close their eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to take a moment and ask yourself and ask the Lord, have I truly been giving my all serving within this family and this church body? Ask yourself that question this morning. This is time of reflection. Because I have to ask myself every day, God, have I truly been giving everything of myself to build this body?
Have I been carrying my weight around here? And again, the question this morning is, what am I going to do with this word from the Lord? You might be saying, well, Pastor Jason, I want to get involved, but I don't know exactly where. Well, that's not a problem. Kyle, would you put those up there for me real quick? That's not a problem. This is an unexhaustive list of church ministries where you can get involved and make a difference. Once a month, greeters, children's ministry, nursery, preschool, missionettes, Royal Rangers, God's Watchman Youth, Men's Hope Group, Prayer Breakfast, Wednesday night CR men's groups. We need men to lead those things. Women's groups, the Women's Salad Supper. We need ladies to help coordinate those things. More stuff. I mean, we have to build each other up in these ministries so that we can be strengthened enough and have the vitality of God's Word in our hearts and in our lives to be able to go out and minister in other places. We have to minister one to another first. We have to serve each other one to another first in this body. College and Career, it's no longer called Collision, it's called So, Sought Out. Led by Jacob and his wife Naomi. PT Cruisers. Can you host a PT Cruiser night at your house? Besides Joe just doing it at his house or at the lake house or someplace? Can you open your house up? Hispanic Hope Groups. Spanish Translation. Brother Mark needs help sometimes if you speak Spanish and English both. Church ministries. Church administration. We need help cleaning this place every week. As you can see, we got a lot of work. I need some laborers. We need some laborers. You know, we got ceiling tiles and roof that needs to be repaired. You know, we've got a front foyer that needs some work done. We need greeters and ushers. Outreach ministry. Prayer team. Audio, video. IT guys. Are you talented in computer and IT work? Well, let's make this place work better when it comes to our technology. What can you do to add more to the audio or to the video of the things going on here? Prayer team ministry, parking lot security, outreach ministry through our ministry called the Dream Center, Adopt a Block. Well, we've ran out of people to work Adopt a Block. Had a couple brothers yesterday jumped up there and said, let's go, man. Let's go knock on some doors and pray for some folks. TKO, Kids Ministries, Wednesday nights. Oh, you want something to do? Come up here on Wednesday nights. There is plenty going on here on Wednesday nights. Got about 100 kids running around here. Need some solid families of God who will take and instill God's word in their lives. Show them some love. Our motto is every child deserves to know that someone loves them. Our Connect ministry. Gwen. Gwen developed that ministry just out of not knowing where she can fit in. She couldn't go to Adopt a Block. She wanted to go to Adopt a Block. And she couldn't go because she had to work. And then all of a sudden, God just birthed the ministry in her heart. She says, you know what? I can't go to Adopt-A-Block, but give me the phone numbers of everybody. I'll call them. I'll call them throughout the week and check up and see how they're doing. She's going to get back on that again. I know she said that. Am I in trouble, Gwen? Our bus ministry, again, the Dream Center Taxi. Joe and I were just talking about that. We've got families that are living a little bit further out than we're able to pick up. I got guys coming in on Wednesday nights at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night because they're driving way across town picking up families. You can go pick up a family and bring them to church. I know Comanique and her family live quite a ways. That would take some of the burden off of the church. Again, God has got a place for you here. I promise you, there is plenty to do. But again, the question this morning
is, are you going to pull your weight around here? Are you going to pull your weight around here this morning? I'm going to leave you with that this morning. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, this is so exciting. I just came back from Mexico 2 days ago, and this is what God is speaking to the church. This was the first message that I heard when we got to Mexico. It was from Ephesians 3:1. It said, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, Jesus, on behalf of Gentiles." He said that he was a prisoner. He was a prisoner to the house of the Lord. And that's what we were called out. That's what the pastor, Octavia, was saying to the church, that we have to be prisoners to the church. Not that we have to be chained down. It's like a forceful thing. Oh, I've got to serve. But it's that we are committed. We don't want to leave. We can't leave. We are incarcerated to the church of God. And then we went to Mexico City. And that's the church that's partnering with them. And that's the same thing that they're preaching. We had one thing in Mexico where the church, the IHOP, came down to Mexico. So that's two churches. And that, once again, bound together. Well, plenty of churches, actually. And that's what they're preaching. And it's so much bigger than just serving. It's so much bigger than just calling people, okay, you got to stand by the doors. It's not just about the building. It's about the body.
That's right.
It's about the bride of Christ. The bigger picture is that Christ is coming. Christ is coming for his church. He's coming for a body. He's not just coming for one person. He's coming for a body. For everyone who's joining together, they're going to be united under one Christ, under the head, which is Christ. And as the body, we've got to work together, because Christ is coming for a body. And the church is coming together. This is a word from the Lord. He is coming. And the church is rising up together. He's doing it. He's doing it in the nations. So Jason preaching this message, and we're having missions next week. This is the church coming together. And so when he says that we get to serve, it's not just, you know, out of maybe we want to, but this is what the Lord is calling us to do. He said that we are the hands and we're the feet, and each one of us cannot take the part of another. We all have a duty to serve, and I'm just so excited. Like,
Amen.
This is what God's saying to the church.
Amen.
This is
Amen.
What he's saying in all the nations. He's saying this in Israel. He's saying this in Africa. He's saying this in every nation. Come together, because Christ is coming for a bride.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Grace. Now, again, just picture this for a moment. Picture this. Every single person in this place this morning, just picture almost all 160, however many people are here this morning. Everybody laboring, building God's kingdom. Just picture that for a second. Week in and week out. Not just this, you know, here one day, gone the next. See, that's God is looking for consistency. That's what's worked in outreach ministry, is being consistent. But that's what works in our spiritual lives. You got to pray every day, don't you? Isn't that consistency, to stay spiritually strong? Well, why does it not stand to reason that we have to do the exact same thing when it comes to giving back? We've got to do it consistently. You can't just leave and hear this message, serve for a month, and then just kind of go right on back to life as usual. But let's make a commitment today, brothers and sisters. Again, if you have not, the membership is out there on those tables still. And God is saying, are you willing to commit to serve this body day in and day out until either I die or Christ comes back? That's it this morning. Randall, come on.
I just want to add to what Jason's saying. You know, I go to an assisted living place on Sunday, and them people are in wheelchairs, and can't, some of them can't leave where they're at. But I go there and I encourage each and every one of them that God has got a work prepared in advance for them to do in Christ Jesus. If it's nothing but to smile at someone and say, I love you, Jesus loves you, if you can't do nothing but lay in your bed and pray, you have a work in the kingdom of God. That's what I encourage people. And if I can go and encourage them, surely those that you're able to get up out of your house and come to this church, you're able to do something. You might not be able to go across the seas. You might not be able to help build the roof, but you're able to pray. You're able to smile at someone and say, Jesus loves you, as you come in here and greet them. You're able to do something for this body.
Amen.
And it's important.
You know, you got a whole church full of pastors and preachers, and we just got to say something, don't we? I just want to affirm the word that came forth this morning. God's been speaking to me about it all weekend. And, you know, I wrote this book about the bride, right? And Revelation 19, 6, I heard it was a great multitude as the sound of many waters. It's the sound of mighty thunderings. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, his bride, has made herself ready.
Yes.
And to hear her, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And what struck me about this scripture when I was studying this weekend was that we're not going to be saying hallelujah for God omnipotent reigns because my family was, you know, all Christians. We're not going to be saying hallelujah, God Almighty omnipotent reigns because my bills were all paid when I was on earth. We're not going to be saying, you know, hallelujah, the God omnipotent reigns because I had a good job and my life was good. See, it's all about him. And when we get there, it's going to be all about him. And we're doing the dress rehearsal here. Our lives have been given back to us. We're dead in Christ. We live now because it's all about him. It's how we can serve him here that we will stand with the bride and say, hallelujah, the God omnipotent reigns. Amen.
Amen. This morning, let's stand this morning. The altars are open this morning. If you feel like you just need to come and pour yourself out to the Lord this morning, again, the altar's open. Mariah and Davion are going to lead us in this song this morning. And I want you to focus on the words of what this song says. It's by far my favorite song. I've had the youth group play it countless times. But just focus on what God is speaking through it. Amen, this morning. And I pray he's speaking to your heart through these words.
This night under cover, what can I do in a world that's hurting? But live like you, always serving. I wanna be like you. Wanna be like you. And this is a loud faith, a sacred devotion. I'm reaching out to know who you are. It's not a fake life of religious commotion, but a living, breathing portrait of Christ. I give my life for the sake of others, lay down my pride to help my brother. And there is no end to what can happen when all our words turn to action. I want to be like
the altar is a place of sacrifice. We have been called to be living sacrifices to the Lord.
This is a loud faith.
That we be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God.
It's not a fake life.
The altar is a place of submission, even bowing down, whether it's on our knees or with our heads. It's a place of humility. Lord, I'm weak, but you're strong. I can't do it alone, but you and I together can.
This is a loud faith, a sacred devotion. I'm reaching out to know who you are. It's not a fake life, a religious commotion, but a living, breathing portion of Christ. This is a loud faith.
I affirm this message.
Sacred devotion. I'm reaching
three words
out to know who
to take
you
with
are.
You, among others, but save people, serve.
It's not.
I was thinking about the very first ministry that Charlotte and I had. A little coffee house at Front and College Street. Bunch of drug addicts and hippies coming in, and a lot of persecution at first, throwing things at us, cat calls and everything. But then we started getting people saved. Had two prayer rooms, one for men, one for women. Would witness to them, take them into the prayer room. They'd come out with joy of the Lord on their face. You know, the first thing they would say to me, those that had been given all that trouble and throwing things at us and cat calls, was, "What can I do? Can I take out the trash? Can I make the Kool-Aid? Can I make the coffee? Can I sweep the floor?" Why? Because they got saved. And saved people serve. And we're so thankful that, yes, come on. Bless the Lord.
I just want to echo my heart, and I believe that it's the heart of God. And I feel like even if you hear, and I just want to say to this church that I believe that with everything that I am, that this church is sound, and that the word of God that's spoken here is convicting. Because if it's not convicting, it's not the Spirit of God, but it's not condemning. And so if you hear this morning, I can ask myself, God, what have you called me to do? And everybody here, you can say, maybe I haven't done what Jason has done, or maybe I haven't done what Tina or Joe has done, but you say, God, what have you called me to do? And so if you're convicted right now, you say, God, show me where you want to plant me. Show me what you want me to do. But there's no condemnation. So don't you feel beat up. Don't you feel condemned. You say, God, you give me the vision for your life, because I don't live anymore. It's Christ living in me. And those things that are still alive in me, God, you kill them. You destroy them. So that the life that you have, I would live it, and that I wouldn't live anymore. And that commitment of paper, you know what it is? God is saying, God, I can't do it alone. I don't want to do it alone, God. I've done it. I've tried it. So you know what you say? You say, God, they're not putting rules on me. I'm glad. Joe, thank you. Tina, thank you. Jason, thank you. And I don't know about you, but I say, God, everything that I do right now, I feel like I'm giving all that I can. But the Bible says, examine myself to see where I am. Not only am I in it, but where am I in the faith? And if I have to ask myself, God, I'm not doing all I can. I'm not serving in every way that I can. I'm giving everything I think I can. So don't be condemned this morning, but be convicted along with me and say, God, You show me where you want me to be. You show me how to commit. See, because you can sign a paper and still not be committed. You can be in a marriage and not be committed. You can be in a relationship with Christ and not be committed. But you can be 10 years old, you can be 9 years old, you can be 80 years old, and God can say, the best is yet to come. There are people in this room right now, God hasn't even begun to do a work in you. Young men and young women, I don't care how old or how young you may be, the best is yet to come. So you don't be condemned, but you be encouraged. You be inspired. New ministries, new vision, new power. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I don't want to inspire you and motivate you to emotion. I just want to say, God, thank you that you had mercy on me. Thank you that you had mercy on us. Thank you that you've given us a life of commitment. Thank you that you've given us a place to learn. Guess what, guys? You're not going to get it right. And you can say, God, show me. See, some of us right now, you can hear it and you can say, man, you know what? I feel like I'm beat up. I feel like I'm condemned. But don't be. That's not the heart of this church. The church is saying we need help. And you say, God, I need help to be a help. And we have that help. In the Spirit of God and one another. And so I just want to pray and then I'm going to give it to Joe. But Father, we ask you right now to show us how to serve you. We don't know how, God. We read about it and some of us try and we fail. Some of us give 90% and you said, God, all or nothing. Some of us give everything that we have, God, and you say, I'm going to give you a little more. Some of us, God, we think that we've got there already, God. Some of us think just because we do all of this, but there's other areas that you called us to, Lord. I pray for commitment deeper in our marriages, in our relationships with one another, in our relationships with you, God. And I pray, God, that you would fulfill your promise as we're committed and we're obedient and we're full of your Spirit, God, that you would build your kingdom and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, Lord. And we speak, Lord God, right now, life where there's death and death where there should be life, God, we ask that you fill us to a fresh, Lord, fill us with a new anointing, God. Break every yoke and build this church, build this family, God. And I pray that everybody that hears my voice in my own heart, God, show us. You're only looking for young, you're looking for men and women, whoever, however, that hearts are loyal towards you, God. And we ask you for that this morning. We say thank you, God. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this church. And Lord, we ask that you continue to live through us today. And we give you all the honor and all the glory. And we say thank you because the best is yet to come.
Thank you, Chris. I so appreciate the moving of the Holy Spirit among us today, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and we're just so thankful we've been led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to give a benediction, one of the things that we do here to send you out, but then I have an announcement, so don't just move at, as we say here, right yet. East Texas, raise your hand this way. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová se sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Very easy today to say, now go and find a need and meet it. Go and find a hurt and heal it. Go and be hope and help to those around you this day. Amen. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We're a congregation. We're a family. We have a matter of family business to take care of.